Well, if you would, go ahead and take your copy of God's Word and turn with me to Luke 2. As you're turning there, I know you guys have heard me say before, I love this time of the year. I think there's much to go after as those who are God's people this time of the year. You know, the songs we sing, if your eyes have been open and your ears have been open, Lord, to the gospel, you hear and read such rich theology in those songs. You know, in some ways I say, like, why don't we sing those all year? You know, God and sinners reconciled. Things like that that we sing. And what's really neat about this time of the year, it just kind of brings a smile to your face as one who is a worshiper of the King. You walk through stores and you hear these songs, and you even hear those who don't know the King singing the songs. And they don't know that which they're singing. And so we just take advantage of this time of year. Hopefully we've all done that in some capacity with our neighbors, classmates, or whoever that may be, that we've had an opportunity to share a little of the truth of why we do what we do and who we worship. With that said, let's go ahead and look at our copy of God's Word here. And in particular, I will continue reading what Pastor Jared read earlier. I'll start actually though back in verse 6, and it says, "And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn." Verse 8. "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear." Verse 10, "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.'" Verse 13, "And suddenly there was with the multitude of angels of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" Let's pray. Lord Jesus, King Jesus, the Savior of the world, you are Christ, the Lord. And you yourself came. You left the perfect home in glory, in the perfect Trinity. And yet you set that aside. You were fully God and yet fully man. And you dwelt, you lived amongst your creation and your created order that was and is tainted and sinful. Lord, I pray this morning that we are reminded of the glory of why you came and the song and the response of your angelic beings that they gave in the middle of a field, in the middle of the night when no one was around. You announced through them that you were here. So Lord, I pray for believers sitting here, for those who know you and who maybe have went through the motions, or who Christmas itself needs to be kind of sparked again in them, that it's not just some simple story that we tell every year, Lord, that it's the story of the greatest gift, that which is you that came to us. And I pray for anyone sitting here, including the little ones that are sitting here, Lord, and many things that may go over their head, but that they could catch just a glimmer of the gift of you, the King, and they would be reminded in the chaos of the presence and the busyness that is right now, Lord, that we serve a risen Savior. And so, Lord, calm our hearts, block out any distractions of things we have to do today, lists that we have to complete, food that's on our mind, and we set it aside and we think about you. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, As human beings, image bearers, we are wired in a way that typically, many of us have experienced this, when others around us do something suddenly or kind of unexpected, maybe completely unexpected, which then coincides with the fact that what they did is amazing or extraordinary, it elicits an emotional response in us. So if someone does something unexpected and at the same time it's amazing, typically human beings respond in amazement or shock or awe, if you want to say, even at times tears. And tears may not even be from sadness. They may be tears of amazement and happiness. Maybe something to consider, or maybe a young person who's sitting in here today, maybe a, I don't know, junior high schooler, or maybe you're in college and someone tomorrow, maybe they'll do this for you tomorrow. Probably not, but maybe someone tomorrow drops $5,000 on you at your doorstep for you to do with it whatever you want to. Unexpected. I'm assuming you'd have an emotional response to that. Or what about anyone here with who's struggling the whole debt struggle and your house or your car or maybe your student loans, and tomorrow someone hands you a blank check and just says, pay it off. How would you respond? There would be this trigger of emotion, or maybe you didn't know. There are those who are sitting here today probably who were either in the military or maybe they have someone overseas in the military. And you did not know that they were going to come home tomorrow unexpectedly. And they show up at your doorstep after years of being away. Or maybe it's a friend or a relative just out of the state. All of those things for sure would elicit this kind of sudden, unexpected, emotional, overwhelming response to a gift, if you want to say, that was given. It was extraordinary. Well, today, obviously, we're going to get into a story that many of us know, and it was sudden, if you want to say, and it was extraordinary, as these two things cross paths perfectly at a perfect time, at the exact time, at what Galatians says, in the fullness of time, God himself, consider this, God himself shows up at the doorstep of humans. God gives the most amazing, extraordinary gift of all gifts that could ever be given, which was himself. He gave himself. And so this morning, I'm going to walk us through what we call, obviously, Christmas. And we'll start actually in Luke 1, 26 with the angel coming to Mary. And then we're going to funnel all the way down to where the shepherds and really the angels and the multitude of angels respond in amazement. And so as we walk through the story of Christmas, you can obviously follow along in your Bibles, or all the verses will be on the screen. All three main sections that I'm going to walk through deal with angels or angelic being. And in the first two, it's an angel, while in the third one, an angel shows up, but then a multitude of angels respond in song. And without doing a whole like treatise or theology of angels, in its most basic definition, angels are God's unseen ministers, if you want to say. They're spiritual creatures not spoken of in the creation account, if you want to read through Genesis 1. Although possibly in Job 38, you can jot that down, verse 7, it may speak of them during that time being created at that time during the creation account. But they're spiritual creatures and not eternal beings. For we know there's only one who is eternal, that which is God himself. It talks about that in 1 Timothy 6, and it also discusses that in Colossians 1, where it says, he is the image, Jesus, of the invisible God and the firstborn of all creation. For by him, Christ, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things. That includes he's before angels. So angels are created beings and therefore are subordinate, or they're lower to Jesus himself. We will see angels who did not sin are called holy angels, or are called the host of heaven in one of our texts today. And so we'll spend most of our time in Luke 2, if you want to stay there, but we'll read through these first two sections as we kind of build this story to the end and to the glory of a song for all eternity. So with that, you can go ahead and follow along on the screen here in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, where we see an angel visits first Mary. In the sixth month, and the angel Gabriel, was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." You can imagine her response, but she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. I think all of us would agree that Mary's response was normal and expected. One of God's mighty angels, right, the host of the heavenly, shows up, Gabriel himself, and audibly says to Mary, "O favor one, the Lord is with you." Michael Horton said this would make any Caesar crawl under a rock. Just her fear and amazement that an angel of heaven and any earthly king, any mighty one would run and hide and be troubled at an angel showing up in our lives. And then the angel says to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Again, Mary responds as any human being would in great fear, and the angel says, "Do not be afraid." And then Mary responds again in verse 34 and says, "How will this be since I'm a virgin?" And the angel responds, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Again, the angel, the messenger on behalf of God, assures Mary she's the favored one. The Holy Spirit is going to do this and put this Holy One in you. She's a pure virgin. This is the Son of God who you are going to birth. And if this wasn't overwhelming enough, the angel goes on, Gabriel, and says, "And behold, your relative, by the way, Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son." And we understand, those who have read much Bible, this was an amazing thing also. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. "For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary says, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departs from her. So we won't read through the rest of this section, but Mary visits her relative Elizabeth then, and who's now also pregnant with John the Baptist, and they share the most amazing of amazing encounters as they come together. These two women have this remarkable exchange, probably the most remarkable exchange in the history of the world, of two ladies who are pregnant. I know many of you have experienced that, where you and a friend, if you want to say, are pregnant and you think it's amazing. It's at the same time, sorry, you don't get to beat this one. But Elizabeth, the baby, right, leaps for joy in the womb at the sound of Mary's greetings. And Elizabeth tells her, "Blessed are you, Mary, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And then Mary responds how? She worships the Lord. "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant." And so God's response to a world full of sin and brokenness, including Mary herself, who was also a sinner and brokenness, is love, by he himself intervening and stepping into the mess that was this world. The angel appears to Mary. Now our second encounter with the angel appears to who? Joseph. Look at Matthew 1:18. "The birth of Jesus took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel again appears. And in a dream, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear. Take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, and shall bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken. And behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Joseph wakes up. He did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he takes his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son and called his name Jesus. So once again, one of God's heavenly angels this time appears to Joseph, what will soon be the earthly father of Jesus. And this happens to Joseph while he's sound asleep. He's in a dream. The angel assures Joseph, no, this is from the Lord. This is by the Lord. This is from the Holy Spirit himself. It's directed by God himself. The time has come. Remember the prophecies, Joseph, the prophecies. It's finally here. Emmanuel is here, God with us, and God is in your soon-to-be wife. And Joseph wakes up and does as the mighty angel tells him to do and does as God ultimately tells him to do. And then we get to Luke chapter 2, and God in his providence and sovereignty has a decree go out, right? Through the Roman mighty emperor Caesar Augustus for all to be registered in Bethlehem, which fulfilled Micah 5:2, right? From the little town of Bethlehem would come the mightiest of them all, the one who is ruler of Israel. All the way back in Micah 5:2, this is going to happen. And here they go. It's organized by God, and here it comes to be. Joseph and Mary head from their right lowly town of Nazareth. What good can come from a Nazarene to the small town of Bethlehem to be registered all while being pregnant? We could talk about the journey and being pregnant and heading to a town in those days and how difficult that would be. But they show up in verse 6 of chapter 2, and while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. At the exact time, right, in the fullness of time, as Galatians says, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. I love the way that the NASB says, but when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth Jesus. All of this fulfilling, right? Isaiah 7, where it says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so, in other words, the wait is over. The prophecies of the Old Testament from God's prophets hundreds of years ago have taken place. An angel appears to Mary. An angel appears to Joseph. And it's like, oh, we can be done. We heard the birth of Christ, but we want to see the response of that which happened now afterwards. The angels appear to the shepherds. Let's get into the crux of our message today and look at verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Now consider, of all the people that the Lord could have, through his mighty angels, announced that he was there, of all the people in the world, of all the kings and the wealthy people and all those, he comes to, of all people, shepherds in the middle of a field when no one's around. And in complete silence, while they're watching over their flock by night, any of us know anything about shepherds, they're out doing their job. Now picture it. One guy says, you're a first century Jewish shepherd, like a modern day trucker or an early American cowboy. Yours is life of solitude, quietness, by yourself. Your companionship is with your fellow shepherds. Conversation is shared over meals and tea, and like you, they have been shaped by the quiet. The rocky and hilly Judean desert is laid out in front of you. Silence blankets the familiar landscape, interrupted only by the soft bleeding of the slumbering herd behind you. In the middle of their typical, mundane, everyday work, an angel from heaven appears to them. Yesterday morning, I was out at about 5:15, 5:30 in the morning, and I was outside, and I know some of you guys get out and are out that early, and it is amazing how silent it is when you just stand there and listen. And by the way, there was no such thing as electricity then. There was no such thing as street lights, so there was lights on where I was standing. But these guys were tending to their flock in the middle of the night, maybe by candlelight. But all of a sudden, consider that in the silence of all of that, in the darkness of all of that, the sky lights up and an angel of the Lord begins to talk to them audibly. Their response is very normal, natural, if you want to say, of great fear. It makes total sense. And I kind of had a fun conversation yesterday with a couple guys, and we read this story and we just kind of read it like, oh, an angel of the Lord showed up and they had great fear and then they walked and saw Jesus. Like, these guys had to have been scared to death. They're in the middle of nowhere and the sky lights up and it says they had great fear. It's this word that's astounding. It's overwhelming. It's crushing fear. It's hiding from what just happened in response to what just happened. And so this light shines against the black darkness, if you want to say, or the backdrop of darkness, and they hear this angel actually begin to talk to them. And so for the remainder of our time, I'm going to answer this question. Why did an angel say, "Fear not," followed by an outburst of the greatest song ever sang, which will then carry us into eternity? Again, why did the angel, why was that their immediate response of "fear not," which was then followed by the outburst of possibly tens of thousands of angels in song? Well, the first answer is this was good news of great joy. It says in verse 10, and the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold," why fear not? "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Imagine them hearing this. Dear lowly shepherds, the ones out in the middle of nowhere doing this dirty job that most people don't want to do, don't be scared. What I'm bringing you, image bearers of the world, will be for all the people, including you, the ones that no one thinks about. Just make sure you do your job, and the masters of the day, if you don't do your job, there'll be consequences, but just do your job. And so this is also for you. I'm not bringing it to a political leader. I'm not bringing it to the kings of the land. I'm not taking this message right now to the wealthy, to the wise, to the influential. I'm bringing it to you, the poor, the uneducated, the rough, those who would have been looked at as down and outers, the outsiders of society. I'm bringing this message to the shepherds, which includes you, shepherds, not the wise, the influential, the noble ones of the world right now, not the powerful. No, this is for all the people. This is for Jews. This is for Gentiles. This is for masters, right? This is for slaves. This is for the wealthy and for the poor. This is for the powerless, which they would have been, and the powerful. This is for those who have no voice in a society of those who have a voice and who trump all those who are voiceless. This is good news brought for those disregard of social status. It's for all types of people. I was thinking of those who we, by God's grace, get the opportunity to support in various ways and go see. It's not just for Americans. It's for Ugandans and Turks and Spaniards and Haitians and those in India. It's for all types of people, all made in the image of God. God shows no partiality when it comes to the good news that these angels are announcing, regardless of nationality, language, status, gender. This is the good news for those who are suffering and living in sin and struggling in the brokenness of the world, which there's no doubt there's some sitting here. All types of people. He even laid this all types of people as he laid out in Matthew. If you read through that genealogy that everyone wants to kind of skip by real quick, and I'll confess at times I do too, but if you read through that and you study through that, think through the names that are the genealogy of that which is Jesus. A guy named Judah, who in his evil and sinfulness and jealousy sold his brother Joseph into slavery. That's the line. Or what about Judah's daughter-in-law, a Canaanite woman named Tamar? We don't need to talk about all her depth of depravity and sinfulness. Those of you who know the story, you can go look that up on your own. There's little ones in here. Moving on through the genealogy to what about Rahab, right? The Canaanite who God preserved and saved from the destruction of Jericho through these spies. Ruth, the lowly Moabite woman. widow of the line of Lot. We all know about Sodom and Gomorrah. And then King David. Let's not lift up King David. That with Jesus, he was a sinner too who fell into horrible sin with Bathsheba. This good news is for all types of people, including these people, including those who are sitting here right now who think you're too far gone. Romans 5 tells us, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sin. And the angels burst, they're going to burst into this song in the heavens because they're making the birth announcement of all birth announcement that mankind fell, but the gift has come. He's come. And the angels would have known all this. Consider this. One of their very own, Satan himself, who fell, was the one who tempted Adam and Eve. Through that one man, Adam brought death and heartache and disaster to all mankind. The angel here in verse 10 who's saying this would have stood this and he says, fear not, he's here, the gift is here. Don't be afraid, I'm speaking on behalf of God himself. God himself has come to the rescue. He's not doing it from afar like all the other gods, false gods that they're talking about. He's coming up close and personal and he's gonna do it himself. The good news of great joy is the long-awaited greatest gift of God is on the scene. He's entered the story up close and personal. And so the angel says, I bring you the good news. Better news than having a better job, or better news than having a better family makeup, or better news than having nicer things, or better news than getting $5,000 tomorrow unexpectedly, or this is the good news. I bring you the gift. The gift that responds to the mess of the world that we live in. The second answer to the question is, this is Christ the Lord. You know why this gift is so special? It's because he can do it. He is Christ the Lord. Look at verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This day, at the exact time, in the fullness of time, in the city of King David, right? King David, the one who, if we want to say, was most Christ-like of the Old Testament, but he was not Christ. Today is born Jesus Christ the Lord, Emmanuel. We just sang this truth, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. Right? She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Right? He is with us. This is the Jesus who will save us from the enslavement to our sin. Right? Moses, Joshua, and David delivered the Israelites from temporal bondage. But this Jesus, who is Christ the Lord, is the one who is of greater than all three because he is going to be the one who relieves us or receives us into himself from the eternal bondage of sin. The one whose birth this angel is announcing is the one who was what? Born to go on a rescue plan. He was born to die. He was born lying in a manger, but yet he was God. And so this angel knows that which he is announcing, and he says, don't be scared, because he's saying sinful men and women who cannot rescue themselves, well, the one who can rescue them is here. Because he's God, right? We cannot go over or talk about the Christmas story without being clear that this Jesus, who was a baby, was not just a baby, he is God. John 1:1 declares this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. So he was all the way back in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. Why? Because he's also creator. And without him was not anything made that was made. And then verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Emmanuel, God himself, fully God, yet fully man, comes to earth. And the angel knows that which Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah, that the one is here, right? She will bear a son and call his name Jesus. That same Jesus was in the beginning with God. He is God. He left the glory of heaven to come to the earth. And the angel himself is saying, he is here. He is born this day. Why are the angels about to break out into the greatest song ever sang? Because they know that if Jesus wasn't willing to do this, if he was unwilling to step down, right? Philippians 2, if he was unwilling to come and do this, mankind would be left under the power and the eternity of God's wrath itself. And the shepherds, we are here to tell you that there is freedom in this Jesus. All prophecies that you heard about, all that was fulfilled or all that was promised are now being fulfilled. God came down and did what we can't do. And so the angels know that this baby born is not just a baby. It's the song that we sang on the screen here, written by a guy named Charles Wesley. Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn king. Peace on earth and mercy mild. Holy God and sinners reconciled. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Son of Righteousness, the Son who is right with God because he is God. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. And so in light of what the angels are telling the shepherds, why are the angels about to sing and glory to God in the highest in the rest of these verses? Well, holy God of heaven and earth, came down, that which was holy came down to those which were separated from them, him in their sinfulness. And so this baby, which is God, is coming to rescue those separate from him. In Romans, we know this. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified, how? By the grace of his gift, which is himself, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forth as a propitiation by his blood. In the blackness of the world and the darkness of the world that was then, and in the darkness of the world that is now, Jesus, the light of the world, steps in and redeems a people for himself. His birth leads to our rebirth in him. This heaven-born one is born to raise men and women and give them, what's the song say? A second birth. We were born to die, but he comes and gives us a second birth, and it will happen through the death on the cross. This life just born, Jesus' life, will end in death, which will then give life. And so shepherds, of all places, you know where you're gonna find this baby? Look at verse 12. He's got to be in like a kingdom. He's got to be in like gold streets and beauty. No, you're going to find him here in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, probably amongst the animals and the dirt of the day. And so what do? They say, shepherds, come and see. You got to go see this. This is God of the world. Come to Bethlehem, right? Angels we have heard on high. We just sang it. Come to Bethlehem and see. Him whose birth the angels we sing. Come adore him on bended knee. Go. Christ the Lord, the newborn king is there. The angels say, this will be a sign for you. This is how you'll find him. This is the greatest gift God could ever give you. This is the savior of the world. This is the gift God gives to you, the only son. This is Jesus Christ the Lord, go and see this king, he's here. And then you picture this, they shout this, or this one angel shouts this, the music begins, the multitude of angels begin to sing a song that started sweetly in the middle of nowhere with no one around in the middle of the night, and the song begins and it says, suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of the heavenly hosts, we have no clue for sure how many, it could have been tens of thousands, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. And just try and somewhat picture this in your eye. It's as if this one angel who's been talking to the shepherds is now the conductor or the choir master of the multitude of angels as the sky lights up with them and they sing louder than we've ever heard before, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to men. I love what this one guy wrote in a blog I read. It says, and then it is as though the curtain of heaven is ripped back entirely, and the whole choir of these terrifying and beautiful creatures is revealed. Their voices are delicate and yet thunderous simultaneously. How many are there? 100? 1,000? 10,000? Who can tell? A symphony is played out as they sing, their chests vibrating with the bass of the voices, your hair standing on end with the soprano of harmonies. Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Shepherds, and all of us here, if we believe that this Jesus who was born in the most lowly of places, that he's the one, that he's the gift, if we believe that he left the glories of heaven and came and he then lived this perfect life and then he paid the price at the cross and he took on our sin and he transferred to us his right standing with the Lord, if we believe this, if we believe and have faith that Jesus then rose from the grave and is seated at the right hand of God, we then picture in the glory of heaven, we are going to be singing together with the multitude of angels, with the multitude of past saints, with the multitude of present saints, and we in here who are saints are going to be singing their glory to God in the highest forever and ever. And then we, as we sing, we are joyful and triumphant in King Jesus. We come and worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we do it, as John says, forever. It's what he heard in heaven. Revelation 19, it says, after this I heard what seemed to be the loud voice of the great multitude crying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God. This song will continue as John says in the verse 6, it says, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride, the church, has made herself ready. And so these shepherds, some 2,000 plus years ago, standing there in the middle of the night in complete darkness, and a song begins that will last for all eternity if you're with Christ. Our question for us is, but we're still here. So how do we respond? Okay, that's amazing. We get to do that for all eternity. But how do we respond? Well, I would argue we respond like the shepherds did. Read Luke chapter 2 with me. They went away, right? The shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem. Let's go and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and they find Jesus in the manger. They saw it. They made known to the saying that had been told them concerning this child. They told them all about it, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart, and the angels returned. And what did they do? Glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, for as it had been told to them. They ran, they told all that were there of what this baby was, that which is King Jesus, that which is the Savior of the world. And then they return and they keep on praising and glorifying and worshiping King Jesus. And so that's our response. If you are sitting here and you're one who is right with the King and the Christmas season has become just kind of something we do every year, I pray, my prayer is that this amazing gift that has become maybe all too familiar to maybe even a lot of us, that we're reminded that the angels, a multitude of them, heavenly hosts sang and are singing now and will sing for all eternity because of the gift of Jesus, which we celebrate, which is Christmas. And so I pray that's our prayer. Even as we go home tonight, as we wake up tomorrow morning, it is good and fun to do all the many things of Christmas. But my prayer is that we don't separate that which is the gift. So with that said, let me pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the gift of all gifts. that which is yourself. Lord, may we sing maybe like we never have before. If there are people sitting here who have done Christmas all their life, we live in a culture that it was very normal. It is very normal still. You just do Christmas. And yet they've missed the gift. The gift, which is Christmas, has never, if you want to say, been under their tree. And so I pray for their souls right now that they would see, that you would give them eyes to see that the gift of Christmas is you. And that they can sing a song for all eternity if they come to know you by faith in you alone. We love you, Jesus. May we sing now with hearts full of gratefulness this morning. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.